This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. We're in Washington, and we're joined by our colleague Renee Montaigne, who's been reporting from Afghanistan. She's there to cover the presidential election in Afghanistan. And Renee, I understand you've been finding some similarities between their campaign and our campaigns.
Well, yes, some interesting parallels, at least, or apparent similarities. You know, of course, Steve, we talked yesterday about political endorsements. Today, another political strategy familiar to Americans. Politicians here have discovered wooing the minority vote. Although in Afghanistan, there's really only one minority group worth wooing, and they are the Hazaras. And Steve, this group claims a rather glamorous ancestry. They claim to be descended from the Mongol soldiers of Genghis Khan, who invaded in the 13th century. But in modern times, Hazaras became the targets of powerful Pashtun kings who taxed them heavily, took their land, looted their villages, executed their tribal chiefs. And by the end of the 19th century, had reduced Hazaras to the poorest and really most despised ethnic group here in Afghanistan. They were the maids and the guys who pulled carts, manual laborers. And that was just about all they could do.
And they were even targets of massacres in the time of the Taliban. So how have they become so politically influential now?
Well, mainly because of one thing. The other two voting blocs in the south, that would be the Pashtuns, in the north, the Tajiks and Uzbeks, are about equal. And the minority Hazaras are just big enough to tip the balance between these two groups. I sat down with one of the Hazaras' more important leaders, Mohammed Mohakek, and asked him about this political calculus.
If they vote more or less together, how important is their vote for someone to win?
It's estimated Hazaras make up 20% of the voters here. So any side that we Hazaras support, that side's weight will be much bigger.
Over the last few years, with Hamid Karzai as president, the lives of Hazaras have improved immensely. They have access to the jobs and schooling that previous generations had been shut out of. And a grand Shiite university gleaming with aqua blue tiles has risen in Kabul's poor Hazara neighborhood. In this election, Karzai and other candidates are going after the Hazara vote big time. Here's what the incumbent offered Mohammed Mohakek for his support.
I was promised there would be five Hazaras named as ministers in his cabinet, that one of his two vice presidents would be Hazara, that two new provinces would be carved out for Hazaras, and that there would be projects to make life better for Hazaras.
Mohakek reports he was made the same basic offer by Karzai's leading challenger, Abdullah Abdullah. But for Mohakek, the president is the best man for the job, which is why he's out campaigning for Karzai in Afghanistan's mountainous central provinces known as Hazarajat, the land of the Hazaras. This Kabul bus is headed in that direction, to Hazara hometowns, Tezak, Dani, Mirza. It stopped in the city's Hazara neighborhood in front of a bakery and a tea shop. Abdul Wahid is the dispatcher of these buses.
Could I ask if you voted in the last election and for whom, if you did? Do you take any advice? Do you listen to, say, your leaders or your parliamentarians? Do you listen to anybody when you're deciding how to vote?
I do listen to their statements, but it is my faith, and I'm determining my own faith rather than the faith of the elders.
Wahid isn't letting on who he is voting for this time, but he does say he's happy with what President Karzai has done for Hazaras. At this, his fellow Hazara, the baker, Hoydadad, jumps into the conversation, saying he's not going to be voting for the incumbent.
Does it matter to you that Mr. Mohakek, who is a political leader among Hazaras, that he is supporting and campaigning for President Karzai?
It will not affect my decision because it's my personal decision. And in the past 5 years, he hasn't done anything for the people, and particularly when it comes to fighting Al-Qaeda, he has not been able to eradicate Al-Qaeda activities from southern Afghanistan. I think Dr. Abdullah will be better and will do a better job than Karzai.
In the end, whether Abdullah or Karzai, the top presidential contenders, will be able to claim the Hazara vote may depend on one long-shot candidate, a fellow Hazara whose name rang out when we took a sidewalk poll of the favorites. We met Ramazan Bashardos in a tent alongside a main road. He campaigns from that tent and sometimes lives in it, and emblazoned on the outside is the word change. It's famously known as the nation's tent, and it has become a symbol of what Bashardos stands for, a politician who rejects the big cars, armed guards, and suspiciously nice houses that others seem to favor. In this, Bashardos is a proud maverick, traveling in an old car or even a bicycle to meet Afghans in every corner of his country and finding himself welcomed even by Hazara's longtime oppressors, the Pashtuns.
Afghan people, they are very tired about discrimination, about this kind of distinction of the or separation between people.
There's war going on in parts of this country.
Yeah.
Some would ask, how hard would it be to campaign in those areas? Have you been able to go? I mean, do you have guards or
no.
anybody armed
no.
who goes with
no,
you?
No, no. I go without bodyguard. I never phone to chief of police before or to governor. I never said protect me. I go as an ordinary people, Afghan people. And when I arrive, ordinary people saw me and they arrived. And start the conversation. And it is very friendly.
Ramazan Bashardos returned to Afghanistan in 2002 after living in France for 20 years, bringing with him a fistful of university degrees. And then Bashardos went about becoming the champion of the little guy. The first thing he did after joining Karzai's new cabinet was to call for the expulsion of international relief and development organizations. He was tapping into a deep well of resentment among Afghans at foreigners who appeared to be living too well. And he rode this popular move to parliament, winning the third highest number of votes.
Bashardos is not a principled man. He is a populist.
Fellow parliamentarian and reformer Daoud Sultanzoy doesn't doubt that Bashardos is honest, but he is leery of his populist appeal.
He sounds good to poor people. All the NGOs should vacate their offices and their rooms for homeless people of Kabul in the winter. This sounds great to the homeless people of Kabul. The vast majority of the country are extremely poor, and we have to keep that in our political calculation. Unless we pay attention to creating political organizations that can address these issues, we're facing a huge problem.
Though not a problem, Bashardos himself appears to be worried about.
I'm a lone politician that the Afghan people love.
And he's a presidential candidate performing a kind of political miracle here. A Hazara sought out on the street and invited into the homes of voters who in the old days would only have looked down on him.
That's our colleague Renee Montaigne reporting from Afghanistan. It's amazing how much you can learn just having a conversation, listening to a conversation with someone in a foreign land. And her reporting continues next week as Afghanistan approaches a presidential election. It's Morning Edition from NPR News.